This podcast is brought to you by Raycon. Take a screen break today with Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycons offer water and sweat resistant construction and seamless Bluetooth pairing. And with 6 hours of playtime, you can unplug for a while. Get 15% off at buyraycon.com/Howie. Buyraycon.com/Howie.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The Republican Party is totally out of control. The deep state, they are out of touch with reality.
That's just a typical crazy conspiracy theory. So I don't have any idea what he's talking about.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studio.
What we are confronted with here is a totally left-wing administration.
You didn't sign us up for that, did you?
Trying to transform America into something no one voted for last year.
I have been asked to lead the issue of dealing with root causes in the Northern Triangle, similar to what then-Vice President did many years ago.
I'm not sure that's a good idea.
They don't want to leave the place where they are familiar with the culture and the language, you know, to use a phrase from an old television show, Cheers, you know, where everybody knows your name.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Cheers, everybody. Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. My name is Grace Curley. I am filling in for Howie tonight, and I'm thrilled because Dr. Matt is in studio. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Matt.
Happy to be here.
Now, as you guys know, when Dr. Matt comes in, this is how we set it up. You can call in with all of your dog questions, your cat questions. Sometimes you have a question about a rabbit or a snake or a turtle. We'll take them all. 844-500-4242. I know the lines are going to light up, and I'm very excited about that. You can also text in. Some people want to text in. I understand that because a lot of these questions do revolve around, you know, a little accident on the rug or something like that. If you feel the need, you can text in, and it will be anonymous. But something I wanted to ask you before we get into it, Dr. Matt, is I know I ask you this every single time, but what are your thoughts right now on Major and his likelihood of returning to the White House? We're going on two biting incidences now.
Yeah, I think Major is probably wrapping up his White House career. I think he's going to go, but he's going to be a Delaware German Shepherd from here on out. I wouldn't quite say mean to him, but you're putting him in a situation where he can't win. And when someone really gets bitten, then there's going to be a problem.
Right. And it does start to feel like, what's the big deal with having him in Delaware? Why do we need this optics of this dog, even when the dog is nipping at people?
Yeah. Well, he's not nipping. He's engaging in behavior that results in human injury. If you read the press release. So.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
he's not really nipping.
Everything is semantics with this White House, even dog bites.
Exactly.
And I also have another question, but you know what? I already see people lining up. I don't want to take up too much time here. I'm really, tonight, I'm the host of the Howie Carr Show, but I'm really just an MC. I am just here to get you guys your answers. And Dr. Matt is the best in the business. We're not going to waste any time. We're diving right in. Marjorie, you're next with Grace and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Marjorie.
Hi there, Dr. Matt. This is Cleo's mom. I'm one of your clients. But I have this cat who loves yogurt, and I don't know if that's a good thing for her.
Well, it depends on the yogurt. I wouldn't give any of the artificially sweetened yogurts, but natural yogurt-flavored yogurt is perfectly okay for a cat. It's got beneficial bacteria, and it has very little lactose in it because it's been cultured.
Okay, that makes her happy, let me tell you.
Well, thank you, Marjorie. We appreciate the call. You know, Dr. Matt, when I was younger, my friend had two cats, and one of them found its way to my front porch.
Yeah.
And I think I was like 10 years old. So I did what any 10-year-old would do, and I gave the cat a nice big bowl of milk.
Yeah.
And the cat stayed there for about a month. And my friend's mom called me and said, "Why won't the cat leave your house?" And I said, "I don't know. All I've done is give it milk every day."
Right.
And apparently that's not, you read that in the books, but you're not really supposed to do that.
Well, again, it's an individual thing. Some people are lactose intolerant and they can't drink milk, but most people can. Many cats can drink milk too, but if they lose the enzyme that breaks down that sugar, it will give them diarrhea. Now, I've had that experience too with a neighbor feeding one of my cats. And I said, "Do you want the cat?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Then please stop feeding the cat."
Yeah.
Because, you know, we adopt dogs But cats adopt you. I mean, they're perfectly willing to adopt someone else if they feel like they're getting a better deal.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, I just want to say it's now 6:10, and that was about, we got 2 minutes in before you brought up diarrhea. that's okay with me.
You led me into it.
I did. I did, totally. Rita, you're next with Grace and Dr. Matt. What's your question, Rita?
Oh, hi, Grace. Hi, Dr. Matt. I have this cat, Vinny. I mean, he's a very, very well-behaved cat, very nice. Everybody in the neighborhood likes him because he goes out and in and in and out. But he insists on being walked to his food bowl. Doesn't matter what time of day, he'll meow, meow at my door, you know, until I wake up, walk him to his food bowl, then you go back to bed. I mean, sure. I think he has a mental problem. I'm not really sure.
No, he's a cat. No, that's just very typical cat. I had a cat that was starving. I couldn't figure out why. We ran all these blood tests, took all these x-rays. He just didn't like where I was feeding him. When I moved his feeding location, he went right back to normal eating. So cats will get you to do what, you know, cats, basically you're there to be the cat's concierge. So cats are willing to wait you out until they get you to do what they want. And this is what that cat's want, and you're willing to do it. So, I mean, it's a perfectly good, relationship unless you object to walking your cat to its food bowl.
Well, it's like having a baby for 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, cats can, maybe not 20 years, but I can't be getting up. I mean, I can't be getting up the rest of my life. I don't know. Okay, that does, talk to Matt.
Thank you, Rita. But that does sound like a little bit of OCD. And I don't use the, I know it's a serious term, but it, so my, Will's parents, they have two dogs. Yeah. And one of them, every time she goes into the doggy door, she has to spin 3 times on the mat. And it does seem like it's a mental thing with her.
Well, cats are beyond habitual. They're ritualistic. And so they want to do, they would love to have Groundhog Day, you know, the movie. They'd love to have that, you know, every single day, the same day. And people will say, yeah, my cat's at this spot at 2 o'clock in the afternoon every day. Because that's their ritual, that they do that the same way. And so this cat's ritual is making Rita walk Vinny to the food bowl. So, you know, you can break that habit, but it's difficult to break because cats have greater will than humans do.
Yeah, it sounds like Rita's just, she's got to get used to it.
Yeah, and you can't play a game like eat or die. Here, I'm just putting your food out, because they'll call your bluff.
Yeah.
You know? A dog won't, but a cat will.
All right, Maria, you're next with Grace and Dr. Matt on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Maria.
Hey, my cat named Christy returned home after being absent for 3 years.
Wow.
I thought he had died, and it's kind of a long story, but a lady had him.
Yeah.
She had been feeding him.
Sure.
But he got sick. All right, so the story is, I have another cat. They were friendly before Christy got lost.
Yes.
But
now they're not
so friendly. Yeah.
Yep.
And they eat each other's food. Now, Christy, the lost cat, is overweight, and my other cat is underweight, barely eats. So how do I feed them?
Right. So the sort of the thought that you need to feed cats together, you have to sort of break that habit. I've had dogs that are, you know, real, and cats too, that are real, you know, chow hounds, and then those that are a little more finicky. And you have to feed them separately. You can't feed them the same way. So your other cat has to get food where Christy can't get to it. And so we were just talking about this, you know, cats will go ahead and adopt someone else if they're getting a better deal or they feel like it. And your cat, that the one that stayed in the house, is now used to having a new situation where they're, you know, they rule the roost, and then this other cat comes back and stealing some of your attention, and in the cat's mind, probably stealing their food. So I would feed them separately as much as you can. They may have a communal dish where a little bit of food is left out, but you really do have to feed them separately.
I do feed them separately, but the thing is, I have it in different rooms.
Yeah.
But the heavy cat, I can't, I live in a condo,
sure,
so I don't have a lot of space.
Right.
But the finicky cat, the skinny one, doesn't like to eat.
Yeah.
She likes to graze.
Yeah.
Sometimes a little bit.
Sometimes you can put them in a separate room at night with their food. That's how I've done it too.
Yeah, because that doesn't seem. Here's my take on this: the chubby cat, or the plus size cat, that cat wants to eat everything in one bite, and that's fine for that cat. But the other cat is a little bit more responsible and doesn't feel the impulse to eat it all. So she wants to go back to the bowl, maybe have a little bit later.
Yeah.
Some people are grazers. So why does that cat have to, you know, get it all in so that the bigger cat doesn't eat it?
Yeah. So I think feeding separately at night or using a baby gate or something like that to separate them. So now, oddly enough, I mean, there's really no penalty for being a skinny cat. That's sort of the ultimate, is having an indoor skinny cat, because they get all the benefits from being indoors and all the benefits from being skinny. So I wouldn't worry so much about the skinny cat. I would worry more about getting the heavier cat back down to a normal weight.
Those are good tips. All right, 844-500-4242. You guys are all lining up to talk to Dr. Matt. I do not blame you. I know that with pets, there comes a lot of issues and questions, and we will get to all of those on the other side. Do not go anywhere. I'm going to give the number out one more time, nice and slow. 844-500-4242. Dr. Matt is in studio. My name is Grace Curley, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
He only steals from the very best.
The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
Howie Carr returns after this.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Howie Carr is back.
See, just when I thought I was out on cats, Dr. Matt pulls me back in and says, "No, Grace. Once you have a cat, you'll become a cat person.
You'll become a crazy cat lady. Grace the crazy cat lady."
I don't know. I really, after all these cat calls about them being so neurotic and demanding, I don't know if my house can deal with 2 divas. I already have me to worry
Will
about.
Well, and the cat.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, we are going to get to your calls in a second. I'm happy to report some of the calls are about dogs. No offense to the cat people, but we are going on a streak of like 10 cat calls in a row. But before we get to that, take a screen break today with Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycons offer water and sweat resistant construction and seamless Bluetooth pairing. And with 6 hours of playtime, that's a lot of playtime that you don't have to charge them for, so that's awesome. And you can unplug for a while. Get 15% off at buyraycon.com/howie. That's buyraycon.com/howie. This is obviously the Howie Carr Show. I'm just filling in, but that is the code, buyraycon.com/howie. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which Corleone is Andrew Cuomo really the most like? Don Vito, Sonny, Michael, Fredo, or Connie?
I gotta go Fredo.
Andrew? Is that who we're asking?
Yes, Andrew.
Andrew, then I gotta go Sonny.
Oh, yeah. No, I guess it would.
A little bit of a hothead, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't want to give him the satisfaction because he compared himself to Sonny, he probably is most like Sonny.
Sonny polling at 21%, Fredo in the lead at 44%. Second place goes to Connie at 22%.
I thought Chris was Fredo.
Chris is always Fredo. He's Fredo forever. I have to say, though, Sonny was a lovable guy. You know, a lot of people consider him a fan favorite. I know he cheated on his wife. I know all that. But he was like the lovable hothead. I don't consider Andrew Cuomo that lovable, but that's just me. All right, enough of this talk. We do have another question here on the text line. If you guys want to text in, 635-66. All right, I leave the TV on for my cat when I go to work. You know, one of those cat TV channels on YouTube. Is this harmful to turn my cat into a couch potato?
Actually, first of all, I didn't know there were cat channels on YouTube, and now I'm frightened that I now know that.
You might fall into a dark hole.
But no, it's perfectly okay for your cat to watch cat YouTube videos. That's
okay, totally cool, cool. All right, let's go to Jim. You're next with Grace and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, thank you very much. Hi, Doctor.
Hi.
My question is about basically ticks. I just want to know, I have a small dog. He's a little dachshund beagle mix. And my son called me today and he was all concerned because he pulled like 5 ticks off. And I guess he said pretty good size. What's the effects on, you know, dogs, especially small breeds with ticks like that and so many? I know that's shouldn't be as bad as it is for humans. But.
Yeah, well, I think that certainly the fear is that they're going to transmit one of the tick-borne diseases in this area. There is, of course, Lyme disease, one called Anaplasma, one called Ehrlichia, and Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever are all tick-transmitted disease, tick-borne, B-O-R-N-E, borne diseases. So you really should be using a flea and tick preventive. There's such terrific ones out there these days that you really should try them. The Seresto collar is very good. The orals, Bravecto, Credilio, NexGard, all very good. And even the old topicals like Advantix are still very good. So that's the way to avoid having the dog bring ticks into your house that might feed on you. So it's helps in dog health and people health.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm definitely going to get him his tick call. I just was being lazy and getting one this spring at this point. But is there any concern for him getting sick? The dog is getting sick himself by having too many ticks.
No, I don't think that's the problem. I think the risk goes up that they're transmitting disease at that point, or that they're giving him a higher number of organisms that he might be less likely to manage. So. The problem with having lots of ticks is you're like playing the disease lottery. You have lots more chances to lose the lottery.
Right. So make sure you get on that, Jim. Speaking of Advantix, I still remember that commercial.
Yeah.
Hello, mother. Hello, father. That was catchy.
Advantix is an oldie but a goodie. It's been about maybe 25 years now and still a good product.
Fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, really bother. That's all I'm going to do.
I'm not singing a lot.
Yeah, I know. And the mail manager's listening. She's going to be like, hey, no more singing.
Not enough.
All right, let's go to Heather. You're next with Grace and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Heather.
Hi, Grace. Hi, Dr. Matt.
Hi, Heather.
I have a seven-year-old cat, the love of our life. He's mainly an outdoor cat. Mm-hmm. And for the past couple of weeks, he's had a bloody nose on the right nostril.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to bother him.
Yeah.
Other than when he sleeps on our bed at night.
Sure.
We can see the blood in the morning, yep. But he's eating and he's a predator and he's jumping around with the dogs. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on
that. A couple of different possibilities. He almost certainly should go to the veterinarian and relatively soon. So cats like this can have tooth root issues because their tooth roots are literally millimeters below their hard palate, and an infection can break up through. Also, they can inhale a lot of things too. So outside, they can inhale like a small seed of grass or a small bit of vegetation, a thorn or something like that. And then they're going to exhibit these symptoms, and it's not going to resolve until you get it looked at. And veterinarians may do x-rays. They may do a nasal flush or something like that. But it definitely should be looked at. These nasal discharge things are very frustrating. And the longer you let them go, the worse they're going
to
be.
Thank you for the call, Heather. We appreciate it. Let's go to John. You've been waiting a long time. Go ahead, John. You're on with Dr. Matt.
Yeah, hey, Grace. Hey, Dr. Matt. So I have an 11-and-a-half-year-old soft-coated Wheaton Terrier that was diagnosed in November with amyloid-producing autogenic tumor, APOT.
Uh-huh.
So the tumor now, the solve for was to take her upper jaw out, which we didn't think was quite fair.
Sure.
And so now it's about the size of a golf ball, below her muzzle. And she's, eating and going to the bathroom and going for walks and stuff. And we're just trying to figure, like, how long do you kind of keep going, or, any thoughts on what you might do?
Yeah, I think that in these situations, there are some things you can do palliatively, but you go on as long as you feel like the dog is having a good quality of life, and once that stops, you need to consider euthanasia at that point.
Thank you, Dr. Matt. We'll be back on the other side. Thanks to everyone for calling in. 844-500-4242. More questions after the break.
Between the news, appointment TV, and endless scrolling on our phones, we're looking at screens more than ever. But how do you rest your eyes without feeling totally unplugged? By putting in a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds and listening to something great. Whether you're listening to your favorite podcast, binging an audiobook, or working out to a pumped-up playlist, Raycons are built to perform anywhere and anytime. With water and sweat-resistant construction and seamless Bluetooth pairing, there are no dangling wires or white stems to worry about. Raycons offer a comfortable in-ear fit for a more discreet look in a variety of colorways for maximum style. And with 6 hours of playtime, you can unplug for a while. The best part? Raycon wireless earbuds start at half the price of the other premium audio brands. So you can pick up a pair and a spare. Right now, get 15% off Raycons at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buy, B-U-Y, raycon.com/Howie for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/Howie.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. My name is Grace Curley. I'm filling in for the captain. Just a side note, a little cross promotion here. If you want to check out my show from 12 to 3, I'm actually Howie Carr's lead-in, and I would appreciate if you guys would give it a go. Give us a chance. I think you'll enjoy it. Now, we have serious business to get to here. Dr. Matt is in studio. He's answering all of your questions, most of which today happen to be about cats. But I see that we have one dog person on there. So let's go to Art. Art, you're next with Dr. Matt and Grace. Go ahead, Art.
Hi, doctor. I have a 20-pound Shih Tzu.
Uh-huh.
And we got a motorhome, and we take him into motorhome, and he's just a basket case.
Okay.
When we park, he's fine, but when he's in it, when we're driving.
Yeah.
And the doctor, the vet gave us a prescription. But that makes him like a zombie.
Okay, do you know what it was?
yeah, I got it in my phone. I'm trying to read it.
Okay.
That's the thing about prescriptions, you know? They can you know, cure the nerves.
Right, but, and so dogs tend to be anxious in moving vehicles for two reasons. Either they're getting motion sickness, even though they may not vomit, they're getting nauseous and feel bad. And we give dogs drugs like Serenia for that, which is a very good drug for that problem. And the other are basically anti-anxieties or sedatives. So if your dog is wiped out on the drug that you're giving, you may need to give a different drug or less of that drug. Now, do you know what it is? Or
it's trazodone.
Trazodone, yeah. It's like 50 milligrams? Or
he starts it off. He wants us to give him 25 milligrams the night before and then 50 an hour before we take off.
Yeah, well, you can try 25 and 25 and see how that goes. Yeah.
Okay. Trazodone. Trazodone for humans, too,
that
right?
is a human drug, yes, that we're using for animals. You sure? Yeah.
Now, here's a question. Not to go off track here. But it's, you know, these kind of anti-anxiety drugs, when they're giving them out to humans, they're very intense about, like, Xanax. I know that because my doctors, not for me, but they've told me before that if you do go on something, you got to do all this paperwork. Are they as tight about it with the animals?
Yeah, we rarely make dogs do paperwork. But the, so...
Rough!
Although we have to stamp on, like, opiates. If we give an opiate to a dog, we have to stamp on it that patients can request a partial fill. So if your dog doesn't want all the Tylenol 3 that we're prescribing, I guess it can go bark at the pharmacist. But we use all the anti-anxiety drugs that are used in people. They get used in dogs, cats,
really?
Birds. Yeah. Yeah. And in combinations, too. Like, quite often for real thunderstorm phobic dogs, we'll use trazodone and alprazolam, which is Xanax, or fluoxetine, which is Prozac and Xanax for those sort of dogs.
So. Wow, so interesting. It always makes me think of the Seinfeld where Kramer gets sick from the dog and you're not sure, you know, if they can use the same medicine. Very, very interesting. All right, Kelly, you're next with Grace and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hey, Grace. Hi, Dr. Matt. I'm from Peabody, so I could be a potential down the line because okay. I really like listening to you. Grace, I do listen to you. I work from home, so I have the radio on a lot, and I do listen to you 12 to 3. I love your show. I think you're awesome.
Thank you, Kelly. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, just as good as Howie. I actually like your show better.
Oh, thank you.
But anyway, Dr. Matt, I have a 10-year-old rescue.
Yes.
He's a golden hound. We thought he was a golden lab until he, you know, jumped out my husband's F-150, and my husband seems to think he can outrun a coyote, but
that's a hound.
Put up a huge fence in our backyard. Two questions. The more intense question is, the dog makes a really, my husband's a big guy, and we have no paperwork. The dog, I guess, was just kind of like living down in Arkansas on the streets or whatever.
Yep.
And its tail was taken off, so it was a dog tail. And he was very, very skittish when we got him. You know, he was brought up in a van or whatever. He was so thin.
Yeah.
Anyway, we brought him back to life. He's got a bed in every room, and he's, you know, our child. So, as I bet all your callers are. But The question is, my husband's a big guy, and he works. He did work in construction. And he always had on the orange or the green shirts. My dog was so petrified of men for a really long time. So we thought maybe he was shot at or whatever. However, he's gotten comfortable with, like, you know, a technician coming over to fix something or whatever. But when my husband comes, he makes this really weird, it's between a whine and a moan. However, if I'm sitting next to my husband, the dog will come over. But after 10 years, he's still a little skittish with my husband, unless my husband's got a milk bone in his hand. Then he'll go downstairs just recently in the last year to get the bone, but he'll come back up. So what is that? Is that moan that he's scared of him still, or what is that moan?
I mean, it's hard for me to interpret your dog's moaning and groaning, but I guess I would say that if he has exhibited fear to your husband, these psychological scars are as complicated in dogs as they are in people. So, I mean, my feeling with these sort of behaviors is you want to have a goal of the dog doing better and better. I have an 11-year-old dog. No one calls her Miss Congeniality except in good humor, but, you know, she's better than she was when she was two. And so the one thing that I felt a lot better on is when it dawned on me that I wasn't going to cure this dog. I was going to try to make her better and better, but this was not going to be a solvable problem. And I don't think you have a solvable problem, but I think you're doing the right thing. I think food bribery in dogs is perfectly acceptable. There's no laws against it. So have your husband do the feeding and give the treats and all that sort of stuff. And that will help keep the relationship at least tolerable or stable.
And you know what, Dr. Matt, you bring up a great point, because a lot of times I've noticed this with people. It's like, you have, when people have kids and they're in school or something, and teachers, you know, give their report cards and they have the parent teacher conferences, and it's all about, oh, you know, being outgoing and being happy and being laughing, and some kids naturally aren't like that. Some kids are introverts, and it's not a problem that can be fixed. Everyone has different personalities. So if people have different personalities, I'm sure some dogs do too.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true, and that's why you have to treat dogs differently. You treat them as individuals, and if someone says, I have this blanket treatment for all dogs, they're not telling you the truth, because that doesn't exist. There's not one way to treat them all.
Now, Dr. Matt, some of these issues that people call in with their pets, they might want to come see you in person. Where would they go, or who would they contact?
Yeah, you can contact the Ipswich Animal Hospital. The number is 978-948-8189, and we're open usually from 8 to 6.
Awesome. All right, we got to go back to the cats now. Okay. Let's go to Randy. Randy, you're next with Grace and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Randy.
How you doing, Dr. Matt? I just got a rescue cat. It's a 1-year-old calico.
Yep.
And brought him to the vet for a checkup. And I asked about Lyme disease, and the veterinarian said, no, don't worry about it. And I did some research myself, and apparently they're not susceptible to Lyme.
Right. We think either cats, they get it, maybe get it at a very low rate. And that's what I would suspect. If they do get it, they get it at a very low rate. But cats that go to a veterinarian with fever and lethargy, and we call it ADR, ain't doing right. So if they were to go to a veterinarian with those sort of things, they would give them amoxicillin probably, or Augmentin, and that would treat Lyme disease. So I think in some cases, if there's a rare case of Lyme disease in a cat, the veterinarian probably treats it the correct way for the wrong reason.
Got it. Okay, so it will probably be corrected even if it's not diagnosed.
It's just not a big deal in cats. We don't worry about it in cats.
All right, awesome. Thanks for the call, Randy. Patrick, you're next with Grace and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, Grace. Hey, Doctor. How are you today?
Good. Hi. What's going on?
Hey, I've got an 11-year-old Labrador who's starting to really show signs of having problems getting up, like arthritic and so forth.
Yep.
So my veterinarian has us on Remedil, 100 milligrams of Remedil, twice a day with food.
Yep.
But I've noticed that she's been really lethargic, like almost like comatose.
Right.
And the vet had called and left a message telling me that after blood work that she did notice a little bit of an elevated level in her liver. So I'm thinking of taking her off Remedil and putting her on something more homeopathic, like a CBD oil or something. So I'm looking for some.
Sure. So if your dog, how big is your dog? How much does your dog weigh?
Patrick, how big is the dog? Oh, okay. We lost Patrick, I think.
Okay. Well, The dose of Rimadyl is, if you're giving it twice a day, should be probably a little, like, about his weight in pounds twice a day, approximately that. So make sure that the dose is correct. Rimadyl is a very, very good product, but your dog should not be comatose while on that product. So I would certainly agree with your veterinarian to discontinue the Rimadyl. I would probably have him checked out to ensure that there's not another problem. 11-year-old Labradors do suffer from torn ligaments and hip dysplasia and wear and tear arthritis, so it's not unusual to have a dog, 11-year-old lab, on pain meds. But the pain meds have to be, you know, providing pain relief without these side effects, or you have to move on to something else. The supplements are fine. Glucosamine supplements, fatty acid supplements are good. Weight control by far is the most important. So if he's overweight, you got to get him thinner. CBD, some people will report to me that it helps. I don't feel like I can truly recommend it for pets yet, but some people do say it helps. So there's lots of things out there that can help your dog, and you want to do, there's, you know, sort of like behavior, there's not a cure, so you do lots of things that help a little bit. So weight control, supplements, medicine, pharmaceuticals, and all of those can help your dog live a much longer, healthier life.
See, unlike humans, where I kind of sometimes think CBD is very, there's parts of it that I think it's placebo. Like, people use it, but with dogs, they probably don't have placebo, right? They're
right,
not like, oh, this is my new CBD pill.
Right, the placebo issues are less of a problem, but we're always working with people's observation about their pets. So you can have placebo effects because people think their dogs are getting better, even though they're not.
That's very true. That's a good point. Dr. Matt, really quickly here, 978 says, I have a 2-year-old female cat who twitches her tail like she is marking her territory. Problem is, she also pees on furniture. So she kind of is marking her territory. She is spayed, has a clean box. Why is she peeing on stuff?
Yeah, so cats decide they're going to pee on other things for multiple different reasons. The first road in the diagnostic algorithm is, does this cat have a urinary issue? So like feline lower urinary tract disease, or even a urinary tract infection, which is rare in young cats, or is it behavioral? So that's the first thing you have to do, is determine, go to the vet, have a urinalysis done, and determine if the urine is normal, it's behavioral, and if the urine is abnormal, you got to treat the abnormality.
Now, here's a question. Does cat pee smell worse than dog pee, or is that just my imagination?
No, I think it smells worse.
Okay, I thought so too. Because
yeah.
You hear about cat pee a lot more than dog pee when people
are
comparing smells here. Sue, we're going to go to you really quick, and then we are going to go to break, but we'll take everybody else on the other side. Sue, you're next with Dr. Matt and Grace. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Grace.
Hi,
Dr. Matt. We've got two cats. Let's call the first one the New Hampshire cat, which had to move to Rhode Island because my mother-in-law died, and we've taken now over her cat.
Mm-hmm.
So the New Hampshire cat comes to the Rhode Island house and has completely taken over.
Sure.
She has become the alpha cat, and the other one is so submissive. We just don't know how to get these two to acclimate. We've tried everything, pheromones, the little treats that are supposed to, you know, relax the crazy New Hampshire cat. You know, is there a point at which two cats will never?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you.
Come to terms.
In how long has it been going on now?
Since December 24th, since Christmas Eve.
Yeah, so strangely enough, that's not been that long. It just seems like it's been a long time. The, cats, there are some cats that will not get along together. They're just, you know, they're oil and water. I think actually in this case, you might want to consult an animal behaviorist. They might give you some tips on trying to get these guys to get along. I will tell you, however, there are some people that report to me that they've had two cats in the household for 10 years and they've never gotten along. So I don't know that time is necessarily will heal it, but time will usually at least improve it to at least the point where they tolerate each other.
There's a reason they say they're catty, you know,
because
they can be kind of, they can be kind of rude to one another, I'm sure. Plus, if you're moving into the house and you feel like there's always one alpha with pets, you know, there's one that's going to say,
absolutely,
I can rule this roost.
Absolutely.
I totally get that. All right, guys, when we get back on the other side, we'll take all the rest of your calls. So that's 844-500-4242. I also have a question for Dr. Matt that I've been waiting to talk about, and this is pet separation anxiety coming out of the pandemic. This is a big problem, according to the New York Post. We'll discuss it on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Howie will be right back after a quick trip to the Redemption Center.
You just shot an unarmed man.
Well, he should have armed himself.
The Howie Carr Show.
Now, I'm hoping that a lot of people here aren't dealing with this, but there is a problem that I wanted to talk to Dr. Matt about. My name is Grace Curley. I'm filling in for Howie Carr. Here's the issue. People are now going back to work after this pandemic. They're getting vaccinated. They're reemerging into the world. But a lot of these people bought dogs or rescued dogs or cats with the idea that they were working from home. They could be with the dogs all the time. They could take them out for walks. And now these dogs are suffering from, you know, separation anxiety.
Right.
So what's the best way to go about this?
You know, again, we were talking earlier about how complex dogs are psychologically, cats too. And so when you think, you know, this dog has been with you 24/7 for weeks and months at a time, and then suddenly you leave, they have no idea where you're going. I mean, you could be going to Cumberland Farms or Guam, or you're never coming back. They don't know. So I'm always shocked that they don't have more separation anxiety.
Yeah.
And one of the, like, for me, It's a very good thing. My dog comes to work with me. She's with me all day. But if I leave, then she really pines away for me because she's used to being with me all the time. So there's nothing is completely good or completely bad in this situation. It's just one of those things. So what are we going to do is you have to say, okay, it's kind of actually a good idea because it's easy for people to do these days is to video your dog when you leave. And find out what they're doing, if they're really getting upset or not. But there's lots of things you can do to help the environment when you leave. You don't want to make it like, you know, you're leaving for, you know, World War I, you know. You're not off to the trenches. Just say, you know,
goodbye, Ruffles.
See you, Fluffy, where I got to go to Cumbies to get some milk. You know?
I loved you so.
Right. And so, or giving them a treat or giving them a toy puzzle, you know, a food puzzle.
Wait, can I ask you one thing? And then we really do have to take these calls. What about just the slipping out and hoping they don't notice?
Yeah, but again, if you're not making a big deal out of it, if you make a big deal out of it, then sometimes they make a big deal out of
right.
it. So certainly, I mean, you can give them something, but slipping out and just walking out is perfectly okay.
All right, I'm talking with Dr. Matt right now, and you know which call I'm going to go to because I had a bunny rabbit for 9 years. Jenny, go ahead. You're next with Dr. Matt.
Hi, Grace, by the way, great job. I love your show.
Thank you so much, Jenny.
Okay. Dr. Maddie, I have one thing to say about Canine Advantix,
yes.
which is good. I had a year-old Roddy, and he was getting eaten alive 1 year. We had really bad black flies in
right.
Maine, and I lived in the river. We got the Canine Advantix for both dogs. He never got bit again.
Yeah, isn't
the
that
rest of his life.
You know, and it's fun. I think that they don't advertise that enough for Advantix. It prevents mosquitoes and midges and no-see-ums and black flies. And where I live, it prevents greenheads from biting them, as well as fleas and ticks. So there are a number of good things about it. You know, I had a client say, well, what's the safest product? I said, Advantix has been out for 25 years.
I'm starting to wonder if you're working for them, Dr. Matt.
Yeah, really. I should get a kickback, shouldn't
you
I?
You should. I'm going to send this to them, to their ad department. All right, guys. This has been the Howie Carr Show. My name is Grace Curley. This is Dr. Matt. Make sure you check him out. We'll be back tomorrow.